Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together to give your word, Lord. I pray that we just speak in truth, Father God, everything that you have ministered to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that the spirit of fear drives out of us, Lord, and that we speak with confidence, Father. We are more than ready to deliver this, Lord, and I'm so excited. Thank you for the opportunity to do this again, because I know this time around we are coming in. Just ready, and we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
What's up, guys? We are Olam Pod. My name is Gabriella,
My name is Xavier.
I'm Deshaun.
And we're just so excited for this conversation because this here is a perfect example when God tells us He chooses us and takes us as we are. He literally means exactly how we are. And so, with that being said, we're going to be diving into the story of Saul, who goes by Paul after his conversion. And I just think God so much for allowing us to talk about this because it's an amazing example and demonstration for first generational Christians because Paul is one himself. So there's a lot of things I know for myself I can relate to in his experience. Xavier, you're a first generational Christian, right?
Yeah, I am. I literally, this is my first time ever, I think, coming to a church. And ever since, I accepted Christ into my life and I've been going to church, participating, going to Bible studies, and just committing.
Right.
I'm not a first generational Christian. I think I'm like a fourth generational Christian, but I feel like apart from my mother, I'm actually like following, not, I don't want to say following, but I'm walking my path with God.
Right. I consider myself a first generational Christian, honestly, because what I understood really, is if your parents do not practice the faith, you could still be considered a first generational Christian if you are the first in your immediate family to actively like practice and identify with the Christian faith. But side note, I just want to give God the praise for saving my parents this year. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so back to Saul. Before he converted, he in quotes carefully trained in the Jewish law. I don't know if you guys before coming to Christ were trying to follow the law with out Jesus suffers. And what I mean by that is like the commandments, don't steal, don't, bear false witness. I know I definitely was trying to follow the commandments without Jesus.
Yeah,
How about
I couldn't name them. I couldn't
y'all?
name the Ten Commandments. I was pretty bad with cursing, all of that. I was bad, but once I came to Jesus, and I actually, it's like harder to do those things. You could follow it way easier with Jesus in your life, but before it was just like I was off the wall.
Yeah, I agree. Like when I try to do things my own way, it would not work. I would catch myself backsliding, slipping up, and it was like I realized, I was like, nah, I need Jesus, because without him, like, I'm not gonna be able to like do this on my own. Like I tried it on my own to get rid of like the sins that I was doing, but I realized that I couldn't, and I actually needed him.
I just want to say this because there's a lot of people in this generation stuck trying to follow the law without Jesus. I know we hear all these things that we do wrong and it leaves a lot of people feeling defeated, but I just want to remind everyone, come as you are, please. For those who are stepping into this walk, you will fail and fail thinking that Jesus wants you to come to him clean or being in full obedience with the law first. Saul thought he was in covenant with God for trying to do that, but Jesus said it himself to the Pharisees in the book of John. He said, paraphrasing, he said, like, y'all study the Bible thinking it's what gives you eternal life, which it does, but it's not yet received in your hearts because you haven't come to me. Meaning, our first step isn't to read the Bible, y'all. Our first step is to come to Jesus because when we receive Jesus first, for example, we stop looking at the law as I have to follow these laws to wait, I want to follow these laws. And that's really what receiving sounds like. Because we go from trying to accept and teach ourselves to ourselves to allowing Jesus to do all the transforming in us. So I don't know if you guys could agree on that. Like with Jesus, like it's just easy. Like I can, like I don't want to curse anymore. I'm a st and you literally stop cursing because it's with him. It's easier because it's received into your heart. You know
Yeah,
what I'm
I would
saying?
say literally it's like second nature. Like it's just so weird. I can't explain it. It's like you bite your tongue every time, like that curse wants to slip out, but it's like, or sometimes you use different ways of talking to actually just not going down that way of speaking again. But yeah, it's way easier. Things are way easier with them in your life.
The transformation is real. Like,
yeah.
And it's not even with cursing too. It's more so like praying before like I eat anything, or like waking up in the morning and praying, or before I go to sleep and praying as well. It's like, nah, like before I was like, dang, like I have to pray before I eat. I have to now, like, if I eat a french fry and I didn't pray, I'll pause and like, Lord God, thank you for this food, and then continue eating.
So Saul was not a believer of Jesus being the Messiah, and he is known for persecuting Christians. The first time we see Saul is in Acts 7, where he is agreeing on persecuting a fellow Christian. And in his story, Saul is known for doing this towards the people who followed the way, taking them to jail, trying to completely destroy Christians. It's easy to think that we can't relate to Saul in this part, but I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question, are we persecuting the church blindly? Because persecution isn't just what we read about in the story, but it's basically an action that we do that makes people afraid or stops them from freely following their faith. And I think we all can agree, or I can say for myself, at one point before converting, I was definitely persecuting the church without even realizing it. I don't know if you guys have any experience like that.
I definitely had, like, it's weird. It, you know, I used to really just talk junk about a lot of people, and I'd see, like, people with skirts. I just thought it was, like, corny when I was in the world, or, like, being, like, I don't know. I just, like, not knowing, you know, before converting, clearly, I just thought I would make fun of it and not even know what I would talk about, you know?
Yeah, for me, I, like, I always grew up, like, in a, like, a Christian household, so it wasn't me, like, persecuting. It was more so me, like, holding myself back for what God has for me. I would, like, see someone that would be, like, going to church all the time, or, like, going to Bible study. I'd be like, oh, I'll go to church, but Bible study, I don't know. Like, that's too much for me.
Yeah, I used to, well, I'll be honest. Like, I used to think people were, like, who were in church were weird. And that makes me laugh now because I was so wrong.
Yeah.
I used to really think I could never be friends with people from the church. I thought I was just too different, couldn't relate to them. I would act and speak so formal, like on my best behavior, and I would not invite these certain people to gatherings or talk about certain things in front of them, and that's social exclusion, and which is a form of persecution. But I thank God for the freedom of that, because the enemy knew my greatest friendships and the people I could relate to the most were in the church. So praise God for that. So to the point with this story, Saul agrees on the stoning of a man named Stephen who called out the high priest. Saying in Acts 7:51, you people do not want to obey God. You do not want to listen to God's true message. You are the same as your ancestors. Like them, you always fight against what the Holy Spirit says. If you know the stories of the Israelites in the Old Testament, you know they were constantly going against God, even though he did all these miracles, revealed his authority so many times. And so for Stephen to be like, y'all are just like them. You just witnessed the Messiah perform all these miracles, proving God's promise and power. And just like your ancestors, you're denying the Lord when he's right in front of your eyes. And I was reading this like, dang, like, and the Holy Spirit was like, that used to be you too. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I got you. But let me tell you why this ministered to me. This really goes for all of us walking with Christ, not just for first generation of Christians, but we need to be careful not to fall into that pattern of resisting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's guidance, like the Israelites and the Jewish leaders. What I mean by being careful is when we are being called out in correction with the word, let's not ignore it. Because let's be very real, no one likes to be corrected, especially when you think you're in the right. It's easy to get annoyed and denied when you're being called out. I don't know if you guys like had experience like with your family or friends, like, yo, you're not supposed to be doing that. Like, I doesn't like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? You guys ever had experiences or can think of anything like that?
I mean, yeah, I've been called out on things.
Or just, still, like, even now, you don't want, like, people come up to us like, bro, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Like, now since they know clearly, I've converted over, people do say that.
Hold even back.
Yeah, hold me accountable, definitely. And definitely, they try to help me to know what's right from wrong.
Yeah, me too. I've definitely been held accountable a few times where I've said like the wrong thing, where I shouldn't have said something, or like I gave like the wrong type of information, and then I later like went back and I corrected my wrongdoings, because like sometimes you just need like somebody like along your walk to like let you know like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, or hey, what you're doing is good, like keep it up.
Right. I think it's so important for us to like not be like the Israelites in Saul in this instance, and try to, because they were getting rid of Stephen, so they're getting rid of the person who is correcting them. And let's be aware that if or when, especially when it's our leaders or pastors saying something to help elevate us and edify us, let's not close our ears and ignore them, because that is the Holy Spirit trying to give us a message. And by closing our ears or getting upset with our own pride, we are resisting the Lord's guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree on that. I feel like sometimes, like, you know, God just needs to give us a quick slap in the face. Right. Like, you know, let us know, like, hey, like, if you're not doing this right, you know, go back, relearn, and, you know, I got you.
Yeah, he definitely does that for me, too, because sometimes I'm just not doing it right. Or like you said, I'm resisting, I'm not listening, I'm just focused on distractions and my mind is racing, and that slap in the face comes and you really shape up really quick.
I found myself even too, like, I think it's important for us, like, first generation of Christians too. Even, it could even be like your brother or sister. Let's say they're not in the church. God can still use them.
Yeah, definitely.
And let me give you an example. My brother the other day, he called me out. We were just arguing, and he was like, you need to be patient and you need to be gentle. And I was like, what? And God was like, the Holy Spirit hit me in the face and was just like, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Like, you're not being patient, you're not being gentle. And we can be fast to, like, especially when we're the leaders of our house or just leader in a friend group and stuff. Mm-hmm. There could be a pride, like, oh, like, you don't go to church, like, who are you? But God can still use that person. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like, we just need to be aware of where the Holy, like, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, especially when it's correction with the word, you know? Yeah. But this the chapter ended with the stoning of Stephen, and basically Saul's beginning with trying to wipe out all the believers.
Yeah, so she finished up that. I have a little summary of Acts 9. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of Saul's conversion, and I'm just going to start off with a summary. Saul was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Then he went to the high priest and requested letters to be sent to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for the cooperation and the arrest of any followers. On his way to Damascus, a light from heaven shone upon him, and he fell to the ground. He has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus instructs him to get up, go to the city, and then he will tell him what he must do. The men around Saul, because he was with people on his way, they were speechless. They heard someone's voice, but they didn't see anyone. The light left him blind for 3 days. He didn't eat or drink. There was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him through a vision, telling him to go to Saul, who was praying to the Lord at the time. Also, the Lord spoke to Saul in a vision, telling him a man named Ananias will be coming to him to lay hands on him, and that he will allow him to see again. Mm-hmm. At first, Ananias, you know, he had second thoughts. He knew of Saul and what he's done with the persecution and, you know, all these things he's done to people in the past. But he ended up going to him. He laid his hands on him. Saul regained his sight, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, he got baptized, and he ate some food and regained his strength.
Right. I love to just go back a little. When the Lord told him to get up and continue to go to Damascus, mm-hmm. like, I think, did you touch a little bit on that in chapter 22?
Yeah, right. In chapter 22, yeah. Yeah, it mentions that. I don't want to get too much into it.
No, get into it.
Oh, yeah. But,
get into it. Let's go.
Yeah, it mentions that when he was told to get up and go to he was already in Damascus, right?
When he told him
he was on his way.
Yeah, he was on his way.
Right.
It was significant that when he was on his way that he was stopped and arrested. I feel like that was very important because mm-hmm. when he gets back into Rome or his hometown, the people there didn't even recognize him.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Let's bring it back just a little bit because I really love this part. I think it's so important for, like, us to recognize, especially with, like, you know, people starting first generation Christians. So when Jesus calls out to Saul and Saul asks him, "Who are you, Lord?" Like, I love that. That's our first step. That should be our first question with Jesus is, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like that's important. And in some versions also there's his second question was, "And what should I do? Who are you, and what should I do?"
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, then he literally told him he'll, mm-hmm. you know, he'll get back to him. He'll let him know,
mm-hmm.
but he left them blind for 3 days, fasting, not eating nor drinking. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about the significance of him in the beginning of that chapter, just how he was, he was killing people. He wanted to go to Damascus to bring back female and male people who believe in chains and,
Right.
persecute them and just.
And on his way to continue sinning, like in that same path, God meets him
Yeah.
and completely changes his mindset. Like he's still gonna go to Damascus.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's why.
No, that's I was literally just about to say that he was still gonna go to Damascus, but now he's going there with a purpose to
Yes.
glorify God instead of persecuting God. That's so beautiful.
And that's why I feel like it's so important to ask God, like, what should I do now? Because he's gonna tell you where to go. The Holy Spirit's gonna guide you where to go, and from there you will. He's like, and when you get there, you're gonna do the will of God. And so I just love that. That's so
Yeah, I
good.
reflect on it so much just to think about who I was and what God has taken me out of and how he shields me now. It's just so comforting.
And also how he even had someone prepared to help him.
Yeah.
God prepares leaders and people that, like, he prepares people we don't even know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
so I don't want to, like, go too much into that because I know that's all
No,
you.
no, you're
But
good.
now another thing too, also when he had his encounter, and Jesus, he shone that light on him in front of his people, in
Right.
front of soft people, but the people around him, they heard someone's voice, but they didn't see nobody. They didn't know what it really was.
Right.
And I just think that's so beautiful because sometimes God blesses us with these things, and we just people don't tend to realize it or like see it and know what it actually is at the same time.
Right.
I feel like it was amazing that he did that in front of all those people because all those people like witnessed something like magnificent. They witnessed something that was like so glorious. Like I feel like there's a time in our lives as coming up as a first generation of Christian where before we came to Christ, God just like speaks to us and like it could be in the night, in the morning, he just speaks to us. And then the people around us don't understand, oh, why is he changing? Why are they going to church? Why are they praising God? And what that does is it makes them curious and makes them ask questions. And they were like, who is your God? I want to know more about
Yeah, they
him.
become interested.
That's why it says in the word, it says they saw the light, meaning they see
Yeah.
Jesus within him, but they don't understand it. They don't understand the
And they
voice.
heard it. I was gonna say they heard something,
Right.
but it's Jesus, but they didn't know at the time,
Exactly. So, and I feel like I know for myself, like all my friends, everyone around me, my family, they see me like in this walk. They see the Lord doing his thing with me, and they don't understand. You know what I mean? So I really like when I read that, I was like, wow, like I get that. Like that's definitely something I can
Yeah.
relate to. And so I really want to get into when he
Let's
meets
go.
Ananias in Damascus, because so obviously he was blinded for 3 days. And I know you love that part, like he's for 3 days.
Yeah, so I think it was nice that he was blind for 3 days because he had to fully not fully well he yeah, he pretty much had to rely on who was leading him. I feel like that's like how God is with us sometimes. Is that like, because when you're a first generational Christian, you really don't know what to do. Like, you're like, okay, God, like, I'm here. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, what's your purpose and what's your plan? So, like, technically, like, you're like blind in a way. Like, you feel me? God's like, he showed himself to you. You have that, but you really don't know. And sometimes God will send people to help guide you. And I think it's significant to mention that after those 3 days, when he got his sight back, he was baptized. I feel like as a first generational Christian, it's important that you do get baptized because when you get baptized, your old self dies in that water. And when you're lifted from that water, you are made new. And when you are made new, God can use you in such a better way. And I feel like it was amazing that he got baptized because after he had gotten baptized, he heads to Rome. And on his way there, he gets arrested. And when he gets arrested, he was such a new person that they didn't even know that he was a Roman citizen. I feel like God, when he becomes new in Christ, a lot of people don't recognize you as the same person anymore. Like, you could have been heavily involved in drugs. You could have been alcoholic. You could have been just a lover of the world. And those people that used to do those things with, they're like, dang, like, what happened to that old Jay Sean? Like, where he at? What happened to that old Xavier? Where is he? What happened to that old Gabby? Like, that old self of you died, and God made you new.
Right. Wait, I'm sorry. I really want to, like, talk about how when Ananias told Paul that God sent him, so when he regained his sight, like, that part, it says when his sight was restored, he stood up and was baptized, like you said, and after he had eaten, his strength came back. And I just think about the time Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I have this type of food you know nothing about. And this is the food Paul ate, the food that nourishes us and that comes from doing the will of God. Paul got up, did God's will by getting baptized, meaning he received the nourishment. And that's why the word is so intentional when it says, and now his strength came back. And so, like you said, like, baptism, that is the will of God. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I was definitely when, you know, we were getting baptized.
You did, right?
Well, yeah, one yeah, of my my youth, my youth pastors, Dali, she came up to me and was like, you're going to get baptized? And I told her, I'm like, I'm scared. Like, I was really like, I don't, you know, let me prove to myself. But no, it's not about proving to yourself. Like, you know. Get baptized.
Yes.
As soon as it's offered to you, like, that is God's will.
I'm not to cut you off, but I remember that when baptism was brought up, I think I was like 6 or 5 months, like, on my walk with Christ, like, getting back to God, and I didn't think I was ready to get baptized. And then, like, I talked to Dolly, and I talked to Jonathan, and sometimes, like, God will put you in a position where you feel like you're not ready, but God knows his plan for you. He knows you may not feel it, but God's like, nah, you're ready. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get baptized. And when I got baptized, like I felt like new, like I felt like I could do anything for Christ. Like, I still feel that way now. And it's so amazing. Like, cause before, I was like, I was scared to like proclaim my faith in God. Like, I'll do, like, posts, but in person, like, where was that at? It wasn't there. But once I got baptized, like, even at my workplace, I'm able to be a light.
Right.
Yeah. I'm able to be a light and, like, show God's glory through me. So I feel like it's amazing. Like, it's the most beautiful thing when you get baptized. Because when I tell you, like, your old self dies,
It's dead. Bro, what? So when I tell you, like, you know, I started my walk, like you said, and I was still trying to, like, break these chains, and, you know, I was praying about it and stuff. But when I got baptized, bro, I really feel like, I mean, I don't know, God really just broke it right there. Like, I was dead, and I haven't looked back. And so your strength, there's really nourishment in that. Like, praise God.
Praise God.
So, yeah, if you guys have anything else.
No, I don't really got anything else. I think we got pretty much talked about like everything.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's close out with prayer. I don't know.
Do you want us to like pause first and then like be like, all right guys, we're up and up. Like, let's go. Okay.
So yeah, thank you guys for listening. We're gonna close out in prayer. So just to like summarize real quick, this is the story of Saul who converted to Paul, and basically how God stopped him in the midst of his sin and transformed him and renewed him. And people didn't recognize him, but they saw the light of God and the importance of being baptized as a first generation of Christian. So you want to pray?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Lord God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together and spread your word, Lord God. I just want to thank you, Lord God, and just take this time to praise you, Lord God, because you are good. You are holy, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you are able to help this person who helped the listener, Lord God, to get a better understanding of what it's like to be a first generation of Christian, Lord God. Or I pray, Lord God, that this video touches people to come to you, Lord God, and be that light in their family, Lord God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.